Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. I remember hearing a story about a man who fell asleep one night and began to dream that he was constructing a ladder from earth to heaven. The construction of this ladder was based on his own good works. Every time he fed the hungry, gave a cool drink to the thirsty, or visited the sick, another rung would appear, and he'd climb one step closer to heaven. In his dream, time passed quickly, and as the years rolled by, the ladder stretched up beyond the clouds, and the man thought that when he died, he would step off his ladder at heaven's gate. But one day, as he was climbing another rung higher on his ladder of good works, a voice rolled out from paradise which said, "He who climbs up by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." At the sound of the voice, every rung on the man's ladder broke. And as he fell to the earth, he awoke from his dream, no longer believing that the stairway to heaven is built by the good deeds of good people, but rather by grace through faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So many things in this life must be earned. Students earn degrees, employees earn paychecks, athletes earn championships. I mean, when you think about it, even many of the most important things in this life must be earned. Our reputation, the trust of our friends, and the respect of those we love. All these things, they're not given to us. They are earned. We share this common experience by which we've learned that hard work pays dividends. And we've experienced that sense of fulfillment that comes from climbing a ladder, one rung at a time, and achieving something that once seemed beyond our reach. From the earliest years of my life, I was always taught, hardworking people of integrity, well, they are the ones who work hard to achieve a goal, and then they are rewarded for their hard work. And while I wholeheartedly believe in the value of hard work, as I read our New Testament lesson, the point of for this day, I was reminded of the danger in applying that kind of thinking to the eternal reward that God our Father has prepared for us. So in our second lesson this morning, our Lord provides us with a vivid image of the last day. He tells us that on that day, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. At the beginning of this description of Judgment Day, the first thing we may want to recognize is the reality of the judgment to come. We state this fact every week when we profess in the creeds that our Lord will come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. But as we say those words, how often do we stop and acknowledge the truth of the judgment to come? There will be a final day of reckoning for all of us, the living and the dead, a time when we will each stand in the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, in the presence of absolute divine truth. In his holy presence, there will no longer be any shades of gray. There will be no pretending to be something we are not, and there won't be any middle ground. There's going to be those on his right hand and those on his left, those who are with him and those who are not. To those who are with him, to the sheep on his right hand, the king says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now it's important for us to listen carefully to those words, because we're people who've been taught that hard work pays dividends. We're people who've been taught, work hard to earn your reward. And therefore, I believe it's much easier for us to view Jesus' words as evidence that we earn our salvation. When we hear our Lord on Judgment Day speaking about all the good works of those on his right hand and the lack of good works of those on his left, we may feel inclined to believe that salvation is just one more thing we must earn. But I assure you, that is not the truth. The only begotten Son of God, nailed to a cross, stands as a testimony of the breadth and length and depth and height of a love we do not deserve and could never earn. Our Lord clearly speaks of good works, but the knowledge that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is Christ Jesus moves us to prayerfully and carefully consider this passage so that we may hear and receive the truth that he is communicating to us. So when we do so, the first thing we notice is the very specific language that our Lord uses to address those on his right hand. He says to them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So our Lord's invitation to those on his right hand is an invitation to receive an inheritance. He said, "Come, inherit the kingdom." As you know, a person doesn't work for or earn an inheritance. We receive, we are given an inheritance because someone placed us in their will. Those on God's right hand receive this kingdom, because God wills the salvation of all men through the knowledge of truth. It's also important for us to recognize that this kingdom inheritance was, as the scripture declares, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So once again, our Lord describes an eternal, infinite love that finite people could never earn. When we contemplate a kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world, our thoughts may turn to the first words we read in Genesis. In the beginning, God. Or in the gospel according to St. John, in the beginning was the Word. These very familiar verses bring to mind images of our triune God before all worlds, before the creation of space and time. And when we read Genesis and John and Matthew together, what we realize is that in the beginning, the Father, through the greatness of his wisdom and power, prepared this kingdom for us. From the beginning, the Son, through the abundance of his sacrificial love, purchased this kingdom for us. And since the beginning, the Spirit, through the divine power of Almighty God, has been preparing us for a kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Through a careful reading of this passage, we also discover that a kingdom prepared for those on the right hand of God stands in sharp contrast to what is said concerning those on the left. As our Lord separated the sheep from the goats, he said to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Everlasting fire, eternal condemnation, the hell, which is separation from God our Father, it wasn't prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. What God prepared for people, He sent his Son, our Lord and Savior, to offer to all mankind. Christ's offer is life and rest in a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yet our Lord's words indicate that some will turn their back on his gracious offer. They'll turn their back on him. And as we discussed earlier, on the last day, there's not going to be any middle ground. There are going to be those on his right hand and those on his left. On Judgment Day, you will either have a relationship with your Creator, or you will hear him say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed." Our relationship with Christ is the key to understanding the place and the necessity of these good works in the Christian life and on the day of judgment. While the good deeds of good people will never merit salvation, this passage clearly communicates a message that we read throughout Holy Scripture. The message is this, in the words of St. Paul: we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In Paul's words, we see that our relationship with Christ is the key. For he tells us that it is only in Christ Jesus that we're able to do anything good. Now, I'm sure the majority of people in our culture would disagree with that statement. But when he says so, Paul is simply echoing the words of our Lord found in John's Gospel. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Our culture would disagree, perhaps even say that such faith contradicts reason. But I ask you, isn't it reasonable to think that the only way to really do good is through the one who is goodness itself? Isn't it reasonable to conclude that the only way to love is through God, who is love? Isn't it reasonable to believe that the only way to be saved from the punishment we all know we deserve is by grace through faith in the only one God sent for our salvation? Every Sunday we stand together and we profess in the creed that our Lord will come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. Judgment Day is coming. But don't let your heart be troubled. And don't put your faith in your own good works. Instead, look to the cross of Christ. Consider the perfect image of God's infinite love for you. And believe, to the end that you may hear these words roll out from paradise: "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.